Good afternoon, this is Deborah Johnson, again reconvening the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee on July 11th. Welcome back, Sheila and Wayne. I'm going to jump again a little bit out of order on the agenda and have us discuss the survey to the counties. So then the last part of the meeting, we can delve into the RFP, the draft RFP. So I'm just going to open up the floor for comments. There's been quite a few emails or exchange conversations around some of the concerns with that. So have at it.
Madam Chair, this is Al. The document that I passed around is based on your email, where you had submitted some edits, and I think many of the emails were responding to that, so I thought that was probably the document we should work from, so that's what everybody has now.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions?
Wayne, didn't you have some suggestions on this this one, on the questions?
Yeah, we had a couple questions. We're not sure exactly how. Man, that feedback's horrible. Sorry. Not sure on the cost estimate how accurate they'll be, given that it's been, you know, a decade and a half since we bought some of the equipment. And then we also talked about, one of the questions we had was e-poll books with respect to store. And then the questions related to how much we have are not necessarily related to how much we will need going forward under the new law. And then the other part of it is just, we're not sure how much that survey of ranking priorities is going to be helpful, because many of those might be ranked with a one, so... I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. Just not sure how clear it is.
Any other comments?
Well, the ranking, the principles of quality in that survey, I did have a problem because I don't know that we should have our counties be ranking what their... what they would say is the most important between one and five, even when you talk about so many of these issues that is federally required and state requirements. So it's like you want to take out all the federal requirements and everything else and rank what comes next. That's one thing, but you know, the equipment's got to meet the state and federal requirements. So I had a problem there. I think it only could get a county possibly in trouble that didn't really realize there was so many requirements.
I'm sorry.
You know, when they're just looking at it and say, oh, cost is the most important thing. Well, that isn't the most important thing. So it's not, and we're giving the secretary's office hopefully things that they can go on and rely on as they are assessing equipment. You don't want some of these things to even be included in an assessment.
Not other, this is Connie as well, and I do agree with your assessment, because sometimes, you know, if you're given a survey, you're going, okay, and like right now, we're right in the middle of a mock election. We're trying to get things done in a timely manner, and sometimes you just don't think about the ramifications. So if we go ahead and mark out all the things that are required federally and statewide, you know, there's not going to be a lot on this list. So I'm wondering, is it even worth sending something out if we strike all those? I mean, that was just one thought.
I'll jump in here, and yeah, I agree with both of those comments, and I apologize for having missed the last meeting. I think I somehow didn't get it on my calendar, but, and so I missed the discussion about why we were sending out this survey. Is there information on here that we're asking for that wasn't on our previous survey? And some of the questions say, like the EPOL book, it's how does this relate to the RFP? Because like in the RFP, there isn't a thing about EPOL books, right? So I was trying to get the nexus between the RFP and any of these survey questions, but in particular, you know, the very last one, the principles of quality in an election, you know, I agree with Wayne. I mean, if you're going to answer it, you're going to put one by all of them because they're all important or required, one or the other. So I really didn't understand how that would influence, you know, how we would select a vendor.
Let me just kind of respond to that, that this was put together so that we would have a sense in terms of urgency of those counties that needed to get equipment like right away, and so that the timing of this RFP was one of them. But then there has been a lot of discussion around that last question. Let me just kind of clarify, as it states, that this was suggested by the public participation panel. Remember how we initially thought we were going to put a survey together so that we could include the commission, the 1303 commission, public participation panel, and any additional questions that we may have. Well, the commission hasn't come back with any, and this is the one question that has come to us from the public participation panel. And really, are these questions for the clerks, or are these really for the public? And should they be included in our survey, or should they be their own? That's probably the question you need to ask.
You can definitely ask the public something like that, but in my viewpoint, the public has no knowledge of what requirements there are. So, I mean, in federal law, the number one requirement is the meeting the accessibility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many people realize that? So, I think that... I just think it's something that the office that is really assessing and looking at it, and the secretary is going to be making a decision. You know, that's been made clear in the announcement that the secretary will be making the decision on the equipment. So I just think that this is a problem of moving forward. I said enough.
I think there's kind of a consensus on that. So, I mean, I'm going to put it on the table that we eliminate that question from our survey, and if the public participation panel wants to put that out on their own, that's up to them. But I don't think it's necessarily something that the clerks, given the recent state on the county's table, mm-hmm. that it would be something that the clerks should be answering or could be answering. Deborah, I agree. Okay. Anyone else have any dissenting arguments to that?
Sure.
I mean, Clarissa, do you want to give us any background on that, or is there any clarification you'd like to give us on that?
This is Clarissa. The rationale for why this was brought up was so that I guess some of the technical expertise would be provided or gathered from the clerk's perspective by way of requiring this RFP or gathering the information for the RFP. Do I personally feel that we need to include all these questions in such a technical nature? No. Is there some questions and there's a need for us to include some questions? Probably, so that our committee can probably gather or assess what it is that this RFP is going to do and how we're going to be able to coordinate it with this public input process. I very much like the suggestion that we have a briefing so that our committee gathers the same information and gets up to speed regarding technical requirements and what it is that the clerks are already doing and where you are, so that our panel is able to move forward without necessarily the need for having to conduct such a lengthy questionnaire or survey. So that could be arranged. I think that that would be tremendously beneficial.
Any other questions before that? Thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much that clarifies it for us.
Thanks.
Any other comments on that question in terms of the principles of quality in an election? Okay, I think it was pretty much consensus, Al, that we're going to remove that question from our questionnaire. And then the other one that Debbie brought up was the e-poll book. And again, this was drafted prior to us knowing that e-poll book is not going to be in the RFP. So I think we can probably, well, I still, I don't know.
It's still a good question.
It's still a good question, right. But I'm just saying that it's not going to be a part of the, you know, is there a different focus that it's going to be for
Well, this is Connie, and he indicated, the secretary indicated it could be like second round. Do we want to just include it? Perhaps, he said. So, can we go ahead and include it now? And I mean, it's just a survey question. I mean,
right.
But we don't want to give him false hope either. But
there are some counties that do have equal votes right now.
Yes,
right.
Yes, there are.
And just when we go down to under number six, I think what I would like to add a column that was a suggestion of Faith is that there be a column added here, excess willing to lend to another county.
Mm-hmm.
That's good help.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Excess. Put another column on there so that they. See what inventory is actually out there.
Yeah. Would it be helpful, and by mentioning that, would it be helpful to also ask if they are open to leasing or renting equipment for if they're in need of equipment, are they open to doing something like that for a year or something, so we maybe that's what they're planning on, and we don't know it.
Yeah, I think we do need to have a financing question on here. I mean, we haven't really asked them, asked counties, what are they going to do? What, you know, we're asking for cost, but we're not asking them how.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can have a question around, like Donata stated, you know, are they willing to lease their equipment over a 7-year period of time? Are they willing to support state legislation to help defray the cost of the purchase?
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea. You know, that kind of thing, you know, so that we can see the consensus out there. I'm sure there will be many opposition to the state money that would help us, but at least, if, you know, put it on their radar.
Yeah.
That if we do it, you know what, we're going to need your help. That kind of thing. Any other types of, go ahead,
Jim. Yeah, as part of that, I don't think it was clear to all of us until today that this was going to be a mandatory system. And perhaps that should be articulated here so that they understand what this means. Because then those issues of finance all become all the more important, because I know in the first survey we asked them, do you need equipment? And then,
right,
do you have the funds for it? And the uniform answer is, I recall, no. None of them had the money for it. So if now they understand that, you know, this is coming around the corner and they may be required to purchase this, that is certainly going to be something that's going to be pretty important to them to consider.
Good point.
I think that might, by you talking about the printers on demand when the secretary was in, I'm not sure the counties really understand that if they purchase more equipment now, that it has to be through RUMBAC.
Well, and Danetta, on that, I'm wondering, is BOD printers peripheral, or are they in the law as an actual voting piece of voting equipment that would fall under that requirement for us to ask permission first?
Good Go ahead, Christy.
That's a really good point, Sheila. I don't know the answer, but I suspect you're probably right, that it may not fall into the definition. We'll have to go back and look. I do want to take a moment here to set the record straight, as it were, regarding selecting ballot-on-demand printer and what that means moving forward, particularly for counties that already have some sort of ballot-on-demand system, such as Hart's Ballot Now, for example. Staff has heard that there has been some angst in the association and the counties because it's thought that since Runbeck was selected as the vendor, the counties can no longer use Ballot Now if they have Hart or if they have some other system. That's not correct. We did not have any intent by selecting Runbeck to say you could no longer use the system that you have if you already have an existing one. What we do intend is once the secretary selects vendors for uniform voting system, if that vendor has a ballot-on-demand built in, like if it was Hart, for example, or if once a county moves to the new vendor, then at that point, obviously, if it wasn't Hart, you couldn't be using Ballot Now, for example. At that point, you would need to go to the Runbeck solution. Buying additional equipment, I think, is something that we need to very quickly discuss, because I am aware that there are counties that want to buy additional BOD equipment help implement 1303 with the additional amount of VSPCs you guys are going to have. And I think some counties are looking for ballot-on-demand solutions rather than having high quantities of paper in all of those locations, because it's not cost-effective. So I will say that we will quickly get in touch with Runbeck and see what we can negotiate through, you know, to enable that process. At the same time, Secretary, you know, if there is a county that has Ballot Now, for example, and wants to continue to use that, even though the secretary has selected Runbeck, they can certainly do so until that county moves over to the new system. So I just want to make that really clear, because I think it may have not been properly stated at conference, and I want you guys to know we certainly did not intend for you guys to have to go out and dump your Ballot Now and come directly over to the Runbeck system. That was not the intent.
I think it would be very helpful, because I don't even know if it was discussed at the conference. I think it'd be very helpful to have a memo out to the counties to really clarify it.
Yeah, Donette, it was just stated at the clerk's conference by Judd and Suzanne during their section of time. I think Hillary was there too, that they had been announced as the uniform voting system vendor.
Yes, and we agree we need to get a communication out, and can't remember what county would ask us to do that earlier this week. We decided to wait until after this meeting in case something else came up that we needed to include in there. But we will have a communication out stating that, position is the right word, but that, yes, Runbeck was selected, but if you have the solution existing, you can continue to use that. We don't want you to have to go out and buy a new system before this election. That was never the intent.
And what if you had to buy more of the same equipment? I mean, you can buy it from your same vendor, because otherwise you'd have equipment from two different vendors and try to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we'll say is if you're moving, well, we haven't even selected a tabulation vendor yet. The secretary will do that probably in December, at least in the current schedule. Once he does that, and if and when a county moves to that vendor, then they need to use the system that's included. But until a tabulation vendor is selected, there's no need for you to have two different systems. We wouldn't want you running Hart, you know, tabulation equipment and switching over to Runbeck Ballot on Demand, unless that was a solution you wanted to do. Some counties actually do that because they don't have Ballot Now. But basically right now, counties are free to use whichever BOD system they want to use, knowing that once the secretary selects a tabulation vendor, if that has Ballot on Demand included, then things could change. But right now we've got Runbeck selected. So,
Al?
Madam Chair, the discussion about the counties that may not use Runbeck leads to another question that maybe should be on here, particularly on Ballot on Demand, as the larger counties are looking for those units to use in their polling locations, and if there are counties that are not using the unit that the state purchased for them last year, perhaps we can ship them around the state and cover some of the deficiencies in some of the other larger counties with those counties that are going to go ahead and use.
We've already had one county volunteer that says, I'm not going to use this, I'm too small. I have plenty of paper. If somebody needs my machine, let me know. So we have a meeting scheduled internally to make sure if we were to relocate that, that we wouldn't be in violation of any of the grant terms, because we have UOCAPA considerations that we need to think about. But we're exploring that option, because if we can reallocate and say purchasing new equipment, we certainly want to do that.
So that looks like
good, because we can use about 14 of them.
Wait a minute, I might be able to come up with one, but not 14.
So you're
asking another one. Can it make sense?
Ballot on demand. That would all you need to do is how many you have, how, you know, how many you need, how many.
Well, that it would be covered under there, because you've added the surplus and willing to share
right.
column now, so we would get that,
right,
that information.
Right, on that row. Okay. Sheila? Did you want to say something?
No, I was saying COPs I needed.
Sheila, did I answer your question? I think I might have rambled into the weeds.
I think that was right on. I appreciate
it. The other thing I just was a... In terms of the financing, are there any other creative things you could put in the survey that you might think? And one of them that we've discussed before, or we brought up at least, was a portion of your reimbursement rate come back to the state in the event that you bought the equipment through the state to defray the, you know, however that would work, I don't know. But that was something. Didn't we talk about that, or was that something I dropped?
I don't know, but I have merit.
You know, that, you know, the yeah. per registered
yeah.
voter reimbursement rate that we receive.
75 cents.
Or whatever it is, 45, whatever it is, that you forgo a portion of that to help defray the cost of the equipment or pay for the equipment.
That might be part of the legislative piece, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would have to be.
It
would
have
yeah, but it is part
so
of
it. So it would be definitely... something in looking at legislation that we ought to think about how we go about doing it. And I think that sitting down with the clerks and you on the Committee on Election Revision and then the CCI, I think would be very helpful, because obviously we want the counties to, commissioners to be behind this sort of question that's going through the legislation.
Oh, definitely. But I'm just saying, I'm just kind of brainstorming right now in terms of
I even mentioned
creative ideas in terms of finance.
I even mentioned adding more onto it, when we were talking about it in the past. But, there's all kinds of things that we ought to consider.
And then put other
out,
ideas. If have them give us ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Put other.
Buy a lotto ticket.
Give us ideas on how the equipment could be paid for statewide that could be in legislation or something.
So specifically, what question do you want to ask on that issue you were just talking about?
Well, back to the question in terms of financing. Would they be willing to lease or, what else did I say?
Not waive. Waive a portion of their reimbursement.
Waive
is not the right word.
Give us suggestions on ideas of financing this equipment that we could go to the legislature with.
And you said leasing and then state general funds.
Yeah. Support. How about support revision of the current formula for reimbursing costs, reimbursement formula.
Any other edits? Because I think Al's taking copious notes.
Madam Chair, just a bit on the timing here. You wanted this survey to go out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I can work on it probably tomorrow morning, maybe late this afternoon, and have it out. You want all committee members? They
all
want it. Okay. Then I'll get that out as early as I can, and we can get responses back by noon. Probably. I think, Christy, you've created these surveys before. How long does it take?
Not too long.
So we could get it out by those comments.
If we can get comments back by noon, it does take some time to build it and Survey Monkey and distribute it out. So.
Great. But hey, good, that was done. Into the fun part, into the RFP, the draft, and comments.
I'm going to get Len Best down
here. Yeah, that would be great. Sheila, you put together a very comprehensive and great response. Would you want to start?
Do you want me to wait for Len?
Do you want to wait for Len? Sure. Yeah, why don't we wait for Len so he can hear your comments also. Thanks, Sheila.
And the other thing about me saying him over the phone is I'm afraid that the feedback is kind of bad. You guys have a copy of him there?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe we could ask the staff to make a few copies.
I can share. You want to make copies of it?
I have mine. I don't have mine.
Is that hers? Oh, I got hers.
Yeah.
You have hers. Just to come back.
While we're waiting for Len, I will say, you referred to this as the RFP. There are many more sections to the RFP. This is the systems requirements piece. And we did put this out for public comment this last week. I think you all got the memo on that. We have received some public comment back already. We're holding public comment open until Sunday evening. And at that time, we'll assess what we've got. But we sent it out to everybody we could possibly think of who might want to comment on this.
So with it floating out there, I'm sure the vendors have seen it.
That's fine.
Okay.
They can comment on it too.
Okay. All right.
It's,
I just wanted to
make not sure. It's not going to be a big secret. Their responses will be until we open them, this portion of it, there's no reason this should be public. I don't know that. I think it's kind of an unprecedented effort to seek public comment in this fashion on this kind of a document, so we feel good about it. This public participation panel pushed us on this and really kind of drove this piece of it. Introduced to you Len Vest. For those of you who have not yet met him, he is a professional RFP writer. He's worked for the liquor department here. He used to be on Danetta's staff when she was secretary. He has worked here on a number of RFPs, including SCORE and TRACER. He is helping us put all the pieces of this one together, and he's doing a crackerjack job.
Great.
This is the committee.
Nice to meet you. How you doing?
Sheila, you want to start, and then we'll let you know if it breaks up or not.
It broke up. It's broken.
This one, the evaluation process, okay. You want to hold that?
Yeah. Well, I just lost my copy because they went to make copies of my copy. Oh, so,
Sheila's?
Sheila's, 10 years coming?
I do, but now I shut my book. Jeez. Embarrassing.
I have it. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and read it? Maybe.
Or should we talk about Sheila's preamble to her specific. Yes,
I
want to
start.
Oh, okay. Yes. Under the voting tabulation system replacement.
Yes.
We covered some of that on the BOD stuff.
What's that?
Of the first portion of it.
We covered it.
Some of it.
Mm-hmm. Not all of it. I thought you had some good points here.
Right. Why don't you go ahead?
So I'll read it. Okay. So this is from Sheila Reiner, and under voter tabulation system replacement, she makes the comment, early in our meetings, we established that the Secretary of State cannot be effective in selecting and requiring counties to use a single voting tabulation vendor without legislation and funds to support it. The thought, as I understood it, was to move forward with an opt-in model and include all election services, creating a state-hosted catalog of election support. This RFP excludes a handful of services the committee wished to have included. in addition to the three functions your office has opted to just appoint as uniform voting system vendors, there were at least seven other functions the committee wrote you to request inclusion in the RFP that are not. The memo was sent in early June. The surprise announcement a few weeks ago that the secretary had selected three vendors as uniform voting system vendors negates what we have been working on. The announcement included the statement that ballot on demand services, result reporting services, and military and online delivery services were going to be excluded from the RFP. Can the Secretary of State mandate counties' money be spent to purchase from certain vendors? Our county, for example, owns a BOD printer from Election Systems and Software. We may choose to replace future printers with the same vendor we currently use. I'm unsure of what the appointment of the UBS vendors has on us. I hope that your office can clarify the expectation of these vendors for our use going forward. Should I keep going? There's one more paragraph.
Sure.
There's another paragraph. So, needs of our counties. Our surveys of counties' needs revealed that nearly three-quarters of our counties desire a level of technical support. This RFP contains very little support specifications. It does not include options for third parties to provide the support. I believe we talked about state support, colleges, or larger counties during our discussions of the statewide system we were envisioning. While this may not fit in the initial RFP, the RFP contains nothing about handing the support contract off to a third party in the future. So she makes this recommendation. Considering the creation of the commission under House Bill 1303, my suggestion would be to focus our efforts on data gathering so the commission can make an informed and solid recommendation to the legislators next spring. Once we have conducted one election under the new model and a full assessment of what we have in our voting system versus what is needed going forward, then we should polish the RFP for execution. The ideal time to bring a uniform voting system online, in my opinion, would be January of 2017. It appears that the catalog of state-supported services is not being entertained with an opt-in phased-in approach as suggested by the committee, so I suggest we back off and let the dust settle so we can do this right. Preparing to send this RFP on August 1st, 2013 is too soon and may result in a waste of state, county, and vendor resources. As previously suggested by the committee, the RFP should go out after the legislators have identified this project as a priority and established a way to fund it. In the event the Secretary of State wishes to continue without legislative direction, I offer the following comments regarding the contents of the draft RFP.
So let's, before we go into that, let's kind of digest or dissect the comments that Sheila has written. I mean, I'll start. I think we learned today from the Secretary that this is not going to be a catalog of services, and it's not an opt-in. It's going to be mandatory. So, I guess what I'm going to state before we, start diving into this, and I'm going to look to Al to keep notes, I think that whatever we come up with a consensus, if it's today or if it's the next meeting on the RFP, that we put it in writing. Even though the Secretary stated that it's not a catalog of services or an opt-in, I still think if that is the desire of the advisory committee to continue with our initial recommendation, then we should still state that. And that, he can choose what he needs to choose. So that would be my druthers, that we continue on that basis.
Well, and I guess I'd take it one more step forward just for purposes of discussion. I agree with you in that certainly was my intention, and I think I'm here as the CCI representative, and we haven't talked about this on an ongoing basis, but we will. We'll have a meeting tomorrow, and we'll talk about it some. I think it's fair to say that from the county's perspective, from the commissioner's perspective, we don't want to spend money that we don't have to. And that it's and so a mandatory system, not an opt-in system, and a system that isn't a catalog, but that is a kind of one size fits all, is, you know, kind of counter, I think, to any place we would, as you know, CCI, really be wanting to come from. And so, I mean, it pushed it a little farther. It's like, well, why are we here? Let's be honest about it.
I agree. I mean, I think that you're right. I think we can, I don't think we need to make that statement in it, but I think we need to continue with whatever recommendations we feel and make it, and then make those recommendations like Sheila did, then say, okay, if you're going to do it anyway, which we think we do are, then these are our comments to that. So I think that that would be my approach.
I would just say I agree with that. We are an advisory committee. Mm-hmm. We don't have the ability to dictate what it is. All we can do is give our opinion, and the secretary can choose to accept it or reject it in his discretion. So if we do have a view, I certainly think we should record it for posterity, and then the secretary should do with it what he chooses.
I was just going in more into the technical whatever, so I think it'd probably be best to finish this conversation first. So, but I do agree, George. Yep.
I see Faith shaking her head. I agree. I think it's important that it is in writing, our comments, that way. But I think from our discussion with them this morning, early this afternoon, we know what, you know, what his feelings are. I kind of am concerned that he's making this decision thinking counties have to have equipment right away. And I've heard from some of the large counties saying, we can make it this year. We can do it this year. So I'm not sure that the information that is really out there. I know that Jeffco has issues, but I think that they were looking at addressing them in a different manner this next election. So I really think we need to get information from the counties that, you know, was concerned that he's taken his concerns from. That might be helpful. I don't know. That's the reason why I think this survey that we're doing now is more beneficial, because visiting and seeing a survey from Jeffco would be helpful for the secretary in knowing what's going forward, or other counties also. And I totally agree with the concept of it, because like you said, contracting for support or updates, any of that will be less with a system. But how soon should that system be, you know, move forward? That's, I think, the question that a lot of us have, because there's things that haven't been answered yet.
Just to follow up on that, I think, you know, cost is the big driver for a lot of this. And I think without being able to more specifically quantify the savings, then it makes it harder to make the decision to expend new funds to get those savings. And so, and we were living in this shifting environment right now because of 1303. So I think part of what Sheila was trying to say here was that we're gonna have a shift that's gonna happen anyway, but we aren't quite sure what that's gonna look like. And so once we get to that new shift, then we can kind of say, okay, this is where we are, this is what it's costing us, and these are the areas where we see we could maybe get cost savings if we did X, Y, and Z, and then maybe we could quantify those savings and say, hey, you know, it is worth it to buy this equipment all together, but maybe not this equipment, I don't know, because maybe the opportunity for savings is not so much in this kind of equipment versus this kind of thing. But you got to be able to do that financial analysis about the savings versus cost to know whether it's beneficial to make that leap.
You know, the last time we met with the secretary, we talked about the financial assessment.
But we haven't seen that yet, right? Have you seen anything? No.
No, because I don't think that, you know, he talked about adding staff to do some assessment, but I'm not sure that he's done that.
Okay, so 2 points, I mean, we've kind of in our preamble I'm looking at right now is for like Sheila did and two of her, for our, you know, position paper or our comments back to the secretary is that number one, that we continue to look at the catalog of services and update. Number one.
Yeah.
Number two, the, again, he keeps saying, you know, just why are we such a rush? And I think you just articulated it very clearly, Debbie, that, you know, let's go through the cycle of this new model so that it can help us do the financial analysis in terms of the savings to justify the cost.
Yep.
You know, before we go into legislation, asking for money, a fiscal impact would be very helpful, knowing what it would be saving, you know, really sitting down and working on something like that. Knowing what the counties are having to pay. I mean, we did a survey before, but in knowing what they're paying their contractors currently, their vendors currently for support and maintenance, not knowing some of those things, it makes it hard to do a financial assessment to move forward with legislation saying to the state, this could save us. I mean, updating our equipment, which needs to be done if we did a statewide system, and it would help even the counties to know, gosh, if we did this, it would help save me money in the long run. I mean, initially it won't, but in the years to come, it can help save money.
And on our position paper, it might be good to start off on a positive note saying that we do agree that we do need to move to this system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think that would start out, you know, we start off on the positive.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some intuitiveness that says, you know, if we had buying power and you know, being able to do maintenance as one group, we've all probably experienced that in our personal lives, that, you know, there is some buying power there that is savings, but you know, we can't go to the JPC and say, well, you know, I really think this is going to be good. We got to be able to say, this is what we're going to see, and the savings are going to affect every citizen in the state of Colorado.
That would definitely, I would say, give even the Secretary's State Office support in saying we need to move forward. I'm not saying what the time frame should be, but we need to move forward because this is what we can save counties. But that would be a big plus for the office.
Mm-hmm. I just may interject one thought. Do keep in mind, though, the only way we're going to get numbers from vendors on where we can get savings and, you know, merge together is by issuing an RFP and getting the bids back from them. So otherwise, I'm not sure if we get concrete numbers. We might get them to ballpark, but, you know, that gets a little dicey sometimes. So just keep that in mind.
I mean, that goes back to Sheila's comments in terms of not having definitive numbers in this RFP, but, I mean, given what we heard this morning or earlier this afternoon, why aren't you putting definitive numbers? You know, by 2016 or whatever he's planning to do, you know how many pieces of equipment, if you know this model, how many pieces of equipment that you may need to buy.
Although, the landscape's changed a little bit here. It's not every precinct anymore. We're talking about 40 centers, and each county might be slightly different as to what you need, but I'm not sure if the Secretary's office necessarily knows that answer. It might still need to come from counties as well.
Mm-hmm. that piggybacks on yours, and let us go through the cycle of at least one of them, and so that we know what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we can put definitive numbers. By 2017, we're going to need X amount of.
And the law pretty well requires, you know, it has it by size, so they know. I mean, you know, that it could be an estimate, but it would be pretty darn close by size of how many pieces of equipment needs to be out each month.
And isn't that what you're asking for on your survey?
It's asking for, part of it. But also you can get a lot of it by law, but by the time the survey comes in, your RFP is
done.
That's done. So that's why we're saying some of this needs to be done before the RFP goes out, so some more information can be gathered if it's going to be gathered.
Well, I thought that was part of the reason for the timing of the question of the survey was we're going to get it out tomorrow so we can get it back in a week, and those numbers will be instructive in the final construction of the RFP.
You can try.
that was discussed at the last meeting.
Yeah. You won't get every county, so you're going to have to.
We didn't get every county when we waited for a month and a half.
That's right. So. And in the middle of the mock election.
I'm just saying with them right now, it's going to get very few back in a week. A lot of them are on vacation or doing mocks.
They're doing mocks. They better be doing mocks.
It sounds like common sense is telling you. If you can't tell somebody your volume, you can't ask for what's the volume discount.
Yeah. That's kind of the point. You're right.
I mean, you can guess pretty darn close right now and have it in there. Because we did that through the legislation.
Right.
Because of the formula set in the
final. Yeah, I did a spreadsheet that shows how many polling places you have to have for early voting and election day. If you can come up with some model of what kind of equipment you'd need at each of those polling places based on the number of voters. You could project, I guess.
And this is a question we've been wrestling with here at the Secretary's office. It's our understanding that 1303 says you have to have a certain number of VSPCs on various days and then more on election day. What we're not fully understanding yet is, are there counties that plan to use all DREs in their VSPCs? Are there counties that are planning to have maybe a precinct scanner? Are there counties that plan to just have paper ballots with a drop-off box and do central tabulation later? So as we were trying to come up with some of the numbers, it's actually a little more difficult than it might be at first blush, because we can say we know how many VSPCs are going to be statewide, or at least we know the minimum, but we don't know the method the voting is going to be conducted by, because that is at the discretion of the county. So that's one of the reasons the survey will really help us, because, you know, Denver may want to have VODs at every location. Morgan may want to have paper with precinct scanner at their VSPCs. We just don't know yet.
And they may have not made up their minds yet either.
Right.
Waiting for the dust to settle, see what comes out in rules. You know, there's a lot of things that they're, I know several of the counties are still discussing what are they going to do, you know, so their minds still aren't made up.
I know the businesses, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sheila.
The business practices group is presenting to the commission on Monday a best practices scenario for the VSPCs. And when we've been talking to counties, we've only heard from, I believe, two counties that are planning on using DRE as their in-person measure.
Just further evidence that the dust needs to settle. Like,
yeah.
Sheila says, the dust needs to settle.
I guess we need to, one of the things we need to add or ask is there going to be rules in these areas? Do you know if they're...
I'll tell you what... first of all, I should say I don't know for certain. We never know what's going to happen with rulemaking until, you know, we end up adopting. But I suspect that we will have... we'll definitely have rules about VSPC. I don't think, though, that we are contemplating right now telling counties that they have to conduct VSPCs in a standard way across the state. So, for example, I don't think we're going to say thou shalt not all use do use all the areas you must have child under men. I don't think we're contemplating going into that area. So, as far as I know, that will still be left up to county discretion.
Okay, so for the preamble, we have, to me, there's three subject matters. Number one, Connie's suggesting that we start on a positive note, that we fully support that we need to go in this direction. However the time mistakes, oh no. two, that we still support an opt-in catalog of service type of an approach. And number three, that we would prefer that we go through at least one cycle, this 2013 election, to help give us the financial analysis the savings to justify the cost.
Are you referring to the 2013 election or the 2014?
Which one would you guys rather?
Two totally different animals.
I know.
But definitely the 2013 is going to give you a lot. I mean,
the 2013, I would say, the commission will be coming up.
Didn't get that.
Say that again?
Well, the larger counties only have to have a fraction of the service centers that they'll have to have in 2014 now.
But, based upon what we did in 13 and in planning for 14. What would you say, Sheila, repeat it?
I was going to say the 13 election will give the counties a model, an idea of what they're going to need for the 14, because it gives them a footprint to follow.
Yes.
And then the commission will have gathered their information that they need and have some reporting on this subject in the spring of 2014 for the next legislative season.
I agree.
What did you disagree agree to?
She stated that, correct me if I'm wrong, Sheila, but I think I'm going to try and restate what you stated, that the counties in the 2013 will pretty much get an idea in terms of what would be needed to run a 2014, and so that the information would be available for the 2014 legislative session.
Correct.
I'm not sure how. I'm not a clerk, so I don't know how it's done in every county. But I know in Boulder, it's going to be all mail ballot. So I'm not sure you're going to get that's the same kind of real information as you would have in a true, voting scenario where people are coming into a polling place.
That's not correct. I mean, go back to the bill. Everybody's going to get a mail ballot. But there's still going to be, for this election or?
2013, I'm talking about. I think 2013 is an all-mail ballot. We still have to have mail ballots.
Yeah.
I started this by saying I'm not a clerk.
But so, Danetta, is the bill totally in place for the 2013 election?
That's correct. But what they see in 2013, definitely that's how they will assess their needs for 2014.
Yeah.
They'll have to have more of these sites to service centers to serve the whoever wants to come into their office, whether it's change of address or registering or whatever it might be, meeting the assessment requirements and so on. They have to, it's meeting the needs of however the voter wants to vote.
And
voter-friendly option.
And what's the anticipated legislative action that would happen in 2014? Is there something in particular? Just about money?
To me,
cleanup.
And there will be cleanup.
Okay.
To the existing
1300. Okay.
And then the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments?
Got all that out? Yep. Who's writing this?
We'll talk about that. okay, now, since we've got a preamble, let's dive in. We are at 2:25. I don't suspect we'll get through all of this. Can we talk about, at a high level right now, since we have Lynn here, the drafter, in terms of the format,
Does anybody have any concerns in terms of way it is formatted, anything at that level?
Did they just get appendix B or did they
just B?
Yeah, just B. I have one comment. I guess this is, you know, each one of, I love the format in terms of the way you set it up, A6A, you know, like that. I guess I would like to see the requirements stated in a question.
Yeah. How can a requirement be a question?
Do you, or is there,
can you?
Yeah.
Usually it's you will. You shall do this.
That's right.
I guess
it. We added notes to ask questions, mm-hmm. So if there's any questions that you know you think of that would go along with the requirement, we can not say no. Please explain how you do this. Or
I saw that, right. So, okay, why don't you explain to me then, in that column, then you say, you know, on the solid to start with provide or generate or
the system,
be able to.
Yeah, the system will.
That's right.
Leaked in.
Right, the system will.
Yeah. Perhaps what might be confusing you is we, and I don't, I think Lynn put a brief explanation in somewhere, you're not seeing what the vendors are going to see. This was from the one that said for public comment. They are to indicate, yes, they meet it, they partially meet it, they don't meet it at all.
Yeah, I saw that again. You had that in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that they could rank it. And then, so all they have to do is just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in it?
Right, and then any comments that they want to make, if they feel they need to explain it further. Then we can see who meets, you know, fully meets the requirements for electronic voting devices. And
you want them to say, even if they said one, do you want them to say how they can meet it?
I'm posing questions. I'm not, you know, dictating. I'm just saying, you know, what, I mean, I guess this is, you know, who's evaluating these? What is the best way for them to evaluate it? What kind of information do they need to evaluate? I mean, a one, it's not going to tell me much.
But don't they typically have a narrative that, there's typically, at least in my experience in reviewing these, and I was on three different review teams back in 06, that there was extensive.
We'll get hundreds of pages.
Remember when we got the RFI results and we got all that language?
Right.
That's how the RFP responses look as well. And so the challenge for the reviewers is sorting through all that stuff to get to those answers. So what I would love, as if I was to be a reviewer, would be put it right here. You know, don't have me looking all through this document, this book, to find it. Put it. You've got your requirements. You've got your little matrix. Put it right there.
Or a reference to it.
Or tell me what page it's on, so I can get that page and read it.
In a catalog or something. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, the RFP itself, this is just Appendix B, has a lot of questions and things that they have to respond to. One of the things is when you get hundreds of requirements and you've got a short period of time to evaluate, you almost need a formula or something that, okay, how many ones did they have? How many twos? Mm-hmm. To narrow it down to see, well, who's even in the ballpark here?
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then those last ones, I mean, you finally get down to where they come in and give oral presentations. You have, well, now tell me more about how you can do that function, because I didn't see it in your literature. Or show me how the machine really works. And of course, a lot of you probably will even already be familiar with some of the vendors that may end up on this. But if you get it too detailed, it's like, blows the mind of the evaluators trying to read all that. I'm just saying the other side of it.
Yeah. So this is the one they're going to respond on.
Well, they're going to have a lot of
but other areas. But what column do they put their 1, 2, 3 in?
I took it out because Al wanted to give the public more room to make their comments. And I made a comment, I think, on page one that I took that, we took that out.
I read it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think it's an excellent idea to put in there, if you put a one here, direct us to the collaborating material in your you know, we can
it'll
do
help you guys out.
Mm-hmm. And reference where you put it, like you say.
That's a good idea.
So, where you can review quicker, please back in on the reviewing.
Very good suggestion.
Okay, so just a point for my clarification. This is Faith. So the comments column on this document is for people, the public, or us to put our comments.
Yes, but there will
it's
be
not a, for the vendor's comments.
Right, there will be a,
how I read it.
But there will be a
review one.
I read it.
This
I thought
the one we put out for the public. There will be a space in here for them to
the real one. Yeah, we'll have a response code column and a vendor response.
And a vendor
okay,
response.
But this particular version is for the public comment.
Yes.
That was not clear to me, but maybe I.
I apologize.
It's clear to me. It's right here in the bold.
I don't
read the big print.
There you go. Look at the little stuff.
So, Faith, you want more detail, but you don't want to read that first sentence?
That's right.
Well, I will say that what I recall from that arduous process was that there were times when the vendor said yes, or maybe they gave themselves a one or whatever using this format.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find any supporting documentation anywhere.
Right.
And so then, as a reviewer, I had to take that on face value, you know, because they said, yes, we can fully meet this,
but you
even
find
though
it
I couldn't prove it.
And that and one approach to that is that we do ask them back clarifying question, you know, clarify this when you come to the presentation. We're going to ask you, we can finally, you need to tell us, you know, how you're doing that.
Exactly.
So, you know.
So who's going to put the weight on these in terms of importance?
Well,
that's a real one.
Let's pass this out.
Well, it's more paper. Well,
yeah, and there's two pages to it. I didn't get it front back.
Before we get to that, should we go and make sure that Lynn understands, is there anything in Sheila's comments on the RFP comment, content that feel like A34 is no longer required by state law. You know, she's got some real issues there, Ben.
Oh, down at the bottom.
Yeah.
I think I'll get to that, Janelle, when we start going through these.
Okay.
But right now, I'm still at the top level here in terms of this whole process and this whole document that's going out.
I just didn't want to run out of time.
Yeah, well, like she said, we're in the day.
We're going to run
out of time. Can I just make a comment that the requirements really, I didn't write the requirements, I just clarified.
The requirements?
They came from a technical volunteer group.
Technical people out in the counties.
Okay, well, the technical group was working on it before the bill was finished, too, part of it. So, comments will be very important. Reference.
And we do have a question about a transition plan from vendor support to third-party support in the RFP, because it's not a requirement, it's still being paid.
That kind of makes sense now. I know where
we're
going to get
for you.
Go back and tell
them.
First,
good job. Six days.
Okay, so this is the evaluation process for a start?
This is a start.
This is the phases of a typical RFP evaluation. You know, where phase one, you've got to meet the administrative requirements or we're not even going to accept it. Then a business proposal, you know, looking at the strength of the company or the in bankruptcy, all those things. You give a weighted factor to that.
How do you go about getting all that information? Do you just take it from the vendor themselves or do you do some research?
Well, we ask them to give us certified financial statements that you could find on, you know, on their website if they're
coming. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, one of the problems I told Al, I woke up before this morning thinking about this because it was really bugging me. One of the problems I'm having with the business proposal, which includes requirements, is that we would consider somebody that has an electronic voting device, but nothing else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't meet any of the other requirements except in that area. So it's like, almost have to look at the different types of equipment and say who's the best and who's the best, got the best precinct scanner tabulator, who's got the best central tabulator, who's got the best electronic voting device, who has the best election management system.
And do they marry up?
That's my next point. And where do they come with certificate? How do they integrate? How are they certified?
Yeah, they don't marry up.
It's not a typical RFP where you're going to go for one vendor and get that system and go with it.
I said that's the problem with piecemeal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is they don't marry. Work.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Or most. Sorry.
It's all right, Derek.
So what we may have to do when we talk about how we're going to evaluate this and what the formula will look like is we're very likely going to have umbrellas over certain functional areas. EMS and scanning probably is going to have to come from the same vendor because they're not going to talk to each other. Signature verification, maybe not. Ballot sorting, maybe not. That doesn't necessarily have to interface with these other systems. I don't think we could pick a DRE from ESNS and a central counterpart, that's not going to work. So there are certain pieces that we must select a single vendor. So I think when we do determine how we're going to evaluate this and grade it, it's going to have to be a consideration. I don't have a recommendation on what that looks like. I'm not that smart, but I think that that will have to be part of it, is we'll have to group these together and almost consider certain areas as their own unique mini system, if you will.
I can't remember, but in your RFP, do you ask them anywhere, Lynn, if their system is interchangeable in any areas with any other vendor?
I thought about that about 15 after 4 this morning. But I need to figure out some way to say, if you only have an electronic voting system, how does the results get to the EMS?
Right.
Or how do you get the ballot styles down from the EMS into your machine?
I got a lot of questions.
There's advantages, and I agree, from what the Secretary's office has said, hey, if there's a tablet out there that's cheap and it's great, that might be a good idea. But, the negative side is having multiple vendors. Mm-hmm. You can have people pointing fingers at each other. The certification, integration. There's positives and negatives to everything in life, I guess.
So this is the process, in terms of, how you weed them out. I was looking at more in terms of each one of the elements in here. Is the election management system going to get a 10 over the vendor training and support that would get a 5, say, in terms of importance?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to determine in the next couple 3 days.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get input from you guys on what's the most important, like business versus cost. When we did the tracer, it's 75% business, 25% cost. Is that the same breakdown for a voting system, or is it more cost than 25%? You got all the companies can say, hey, we're great, we've been in business a long time, we got good financials, so you give them a lot of points for that, and then a little points for costing. And then, like you say, the requirements, is it more important to have a good EMS than it is?
I say requirements is number one, I feel. And my viewpoint, because you got meeting the federal and state law in the requirement area and making sure that it's reliable. You get into those areas, then you start talking about, on down the road, you start talking about cost. But that's my viewpoint.
I know. And if you look at requirements, though, are most of them going to meet it? Because we've got 3 or 4 different systems in the state, which I assume they meet their requirements, or they wouldn't
meet it. They meet it in different ways. Mm-hmm. And some, is it meeting it this much, or is it meeting it this much? Are they barely getting by? It's not easy.
Yeah, and I'm going to pop it back up to the top instead of with Louise again. I'm looking on page B3, and you've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A here. To me, I think we should be looking at what of these elements are important. so that if we give it a weight of 10 or a weight of 1, so that they, you know, whatever grading system you have, we've given it a weight that this is, you know, what if everything bombs out, the minimum thing we want to have is an election management system, just for example.
So right now, Lynn, is the way the scoring from all these sections would come under the business proposal evaluation phase two, all the scoring?
Typically it would, but I'm having a problem. It's almost, if we're going to look at multiple vendors to create a uniform voting system, it's almost like, okay, phase two may end up being 2A and 2B, okay, which ones meet, you know, have good company standing, and then after that, we're going to have to break it up and evaluate under each category of voting equipment.
Right.
You know, you can't just say, well, that vendor only answered 30 requirements. Well, they were all under one piece of equipment that they're really good at. You know, so I could end up, I even did a little thing here, you know, all the vendors, and here's EMS, scanning, precinct scanning. You know, you end up, well, the vendor A is the best in that, and the vendor E is the best in that. I mean, what do you do then?
So what Deb is proposing is that, so A through G have different weightings, and or what you're saying then is that you'd have a matrix of A through G, and then all with equal weighting, but vendors would have a different score under each category depending on what they had going.
That's kind of what I was thinking today.
Okay.
Because if you said that you know, electronic voting equipment is the highest priority, maybe somebody's not bidding that either.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then they would be the highest.
In the EMS, they might have great EMS.
Right.
But if, in 3 days. Huh?
But if each one of those A through G was kind of evaluated independently, then the one that didn't have anything around A but was really good at D, then it really wouldn't knock them out of the ballpark because they
like they say they have a tablet electronic voting device that's really great,
but does it integrate with
that's
the other, I mean, if it doesn't integrate,
even if
it's the best in that one area,
it might take 3 years.
Yeah, you got to get is out.
But I think you won't know that until you get to which one is the best.
I agree.
That's
but then you always have number two.
But yeah, you've got to do it. You know, that's part of your grading. If it doesn't integrate and they can't show that it does, and you may not get to that because they're showing it.
Mm-hmm.
How does this integrate with this system? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, sorry.
But what Alan Christie is saying, though, you have to start somewhere and start out with the RFP and then throw them all out if they don't work. They didn't say that part.
That's one thing.
They did not say that, but I just said, you know, you have to start someplace with the RFP.
No, that's a good point. I mean, even at the end, after you've done all this grading and you've looked at it, you can still make a business decision that, well, wait a minute, yeah, maybe the points go this way, but the certification, the integration, we're better off to stay with one vendor. Let's not go that route. I mean, that decision can be made.
But you have to have data.
You have to have a good
reason.
You
have to have
a data. Yeah, you have to get
everything down. Yeah, you have to get it in. And you have to have some way of evaluating.
Yeah, and once you get to that, okay, if we, you know, then it comes down to, is it more feasible to do one system? Because I'll just say, maybe the cost is much less than if you have this, it may, you know, because you're going to have maintenance from each one of them,
contracts from each one of them,
you start putting all together. You've got to consider all those factors when you get into the end decision.
If you've got three guys out there supporting three different vendors on voting day, that's going to cost more than one time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think realistically, we probably are going to end up with multiple contracts. We're probably going to have someone that's selected as the EMS vendor with all the traditional equipment that you guys are already using that are going to be, you know, Sequoia, ESNS, Dominion, or HARD. It's probably going to be one of those guys, maybe some of the new ones, who knows? But there's probably going to be one vendor that provides those services. That's going to be one contract. Then we're going to probably select another vendor that does signature verification services. It might be the tabulation vendor. Some of them have that, some of them don't. But it could also be somebody completely separate that all they do is signature verification. And then I think the other component that will likely be by itself is going to be ballot sorting. There are companies like Bell and Howell, and I can't remember the other one, that responded to the RFI for ballot sorters. That's probably not going to be what we consider, you know, our traditional vendors. And each one of those is going to have their own separate contract. So we will have to make a business decision at some point on what makes sense for that. Does it make more sense to have one vendor provide more services because we save on maintenance? Mm-hmm. Or do we have maybe a little bit less of an upfront cost and buy separate pieces of machinery, but then we have to negotiate contracts and pay separate maintenance? So like Lynn said earlier, this is not your traditional RFP. And upon reflection, I think I probably would have lobbied for issuing separate RFPs for major functional areas if I were to start this process all over again. That's probably
Is it too late to do that?
I think as far as staff is concerned, yes. We have been given the directive that RFP needs to go August 1st. We might get a couple weeks wiggle room possibly, but I really doubt that we would stop. So with the process as it is now.
Well, may I ask, it's 3:15, and we're not scheduled to meet again until August 8th.
Yep.
And I'm really concerned because we haven't even, I mean, we're still working on this part, and we haven't got to this part. And I'm wondering if we need to have another meeting between now and August 1st.
I'm open to that suggestion. How about others? I think it's important enough that we get down into this, that we go through each one of these. I've got a lot of notes that I think we need to do, and Sheila's notes. And
mm-hmm. Plus, frankly, I'm curious about public comment.
Tricky point.
So because the way things are right now, public comment is due on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then the public participation panel meets at the very end of the month. And then the RFP goes out a few days later. And then we meet a week after that. And that's just not making sense.
Yeah.
Wayne, are you on the phone right now where you can if you're available, and Sheila, if you're available for a different meeting or another meeting?
Yeah, I'm bopping back in at the moment, so I'm sorry, I'm just dealing with some other issues right now.
I just looked at my, that's the reason why I asked, is I looked at my iPhone.
Oh, yeah.
How is Friday the 2nd for people?
Too late for the RFK.
I'll just say, keep in mind for the processes here, going through legal and finance reviews within the department, we're looking at having to be done with our process by the 23rd.
How can you be if you don't even have the public participation comments?
We'll have them by Sunday.
Sunday,
How's the 19th?
What day is
19th?
It's a Friday.
Friday.
It's a week from this coming. It's a week from tomorrow.
I'll be in Fort Worth at the NACO conference.
I'll be out the 19th.
You're out the 19th?
I'm out the 19th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about the 18th?
Wayne, could you do the 18th?
Yeah, it looks that way.
Could we do it earlier? Then I have to be on an airplane by 3:20.
Do it in the morning? 9 a.m.
I could do it as early as 9.
Yeah.
9?
9.
Go with 9.
9?
in the event we cannot get a room here,
I'll try.
You can host us something where we can stream.
We're happy to host here.
But crazily, so to find a 3-hour block in one of the rooms that
actually, you guys can come.
I'll do it right away. I'll check to see if ours is streamed.
Well, we'll try here first.
Okay. So 9 a.m. on the 18th. Either be square.
Okay. Okay. 24 hours for notice. Okay, so even if we don't identify a room today, as long as we've got done today or tomorrow, Monday, we should be okay.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order here? Is everybody clear on what we have or have not accomplished so far?
I had one question under cost. So, because we're not going to have quantities, then how will we have costs?
Well, one thing we looked at is maybe, and I'll say it, we talked about Jefferson County, but then we decided to make it a target county within 50 miles of Metro Denver with this many polling locations, this many registered voters. Tell us how much it would cost for the equipment to do that.
Yeah.
That's not ideal. I mean, we would like to say we have 64 counties, we need this many scanners, this many, you know, so they could say, oh, yeah, wow, that's exciting. And we all want them to install next year. Well, geez, let's put the pencil to the paper here.
Yeah, and then we also talked about asking for a price to be firm for years 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4, if they need to adjust it, 4 and 5.
And
phase in implementation.
And could you ask a question about increased quantity discounts that they might be able to anticipate if they scaled up?
These are all great suggestions. Any other high level ones like that? I mean, before we get into the roots of it, of the technical part.
Do you have your suggestions written down for the RFP for Lynn to review? That way you can really say what he's after he reviews them.
I have them written on my sheet of paper here, but I can put them into a nice format like Sheila did.
And maybe anybody else that has things they want, don't you think that would help you and that we would be prepared for us?
Yeah, but the sooner you guys can get us that, the better. And if anybody's listening over the web, too, if you're the public or anyone else, you don't have to wait until the deadline to get them in. We anticipate we might get a significant amount of suggested edits, and if we can get those to Lynn now, we could start working through them rather than getting the bulk of them on Monday, and then if we meet on Thursday, who knows if we can even get through them in time for you guys to review.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wayne has got a chance to
So the suggestion was is that if you have comments, try and get them sent to, you know, I mean, those of us on the committee anyway, to all the committee members, phone over to what Sheila did, so that we can have them on record.
And
staff. I'm sorry. And staff. So we can have it on record and get them to Lynn so he can make some adjustments with them. Now, is the technical committee did all their review of it, or are they going to get back with you too?
They've got this information now.
Now, and they're going to be giving you comments back by Sunday also?
No. There's enough by Sunday. We can ask them.
But
we said we would schedule a meeting with them, a telephone meeting.
But keep in mind, they're the drafters.
Right.
The requirements. So this is kind of their final run through with everything put together into one document.
But
those are the being separate areas.
So they need ours before they meet.
They don't need to, They individually review.
And well, there's before or after 1303, this draft would go.
They've been
working since what, February?
So they could fix.
Yeah. And so I think that this group of volunteers, like Al says, they don't really meet as a group, but each one contributes individually, gives comments, and they kind of pull it together. But they are, I think, all of the members of county clerk's offices, so they will be well aware of 1303
right.
If there's something that didn't get caught and one of you comes back and says, hey, this is wrong now, I'm sure they're not going to have any issues.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to understand why he's been modified. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the order? Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.